Advice for the ages. What's yours? The past few months have been, well, a lot for all of us. So today, as we head into the Thanksgiving weekend, we thought we would try something a little different here on Maine Calling. We aren't discussing the news headlines, public affairs, cultural trends, or medical issues today. Instead, we're doing something more timeless, seeking and giving good advice. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Of course, a show like this depends on you. We hope you'll join in by sharing some good advice you've received or given over the years. Even better if there's a good story behind your nugget of wisdom. So put your thinking hat on and give us a call or email or tweet. You know the drill. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm your host, Jennifer Rooks. Today, something a little different. We're going to be sharing advice, sharing words of wisdom, and we're hoping that you will join in on this day before Thanksgiving. My guest today, Amy Wood, a psychologist, executive coach, and author, and the Reverend Kenneth Lewis, senior pastor at Green Memorial AME Zion Church. We invite your advice, questions, and comments, or thoughts about some of the advice given during the program. You can send it by email, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to you, Reverend Lewis, and to you, Amy Wood. Thank you for being good sports and trying something new with us today.
So good to be here with you today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
So I'm going to start by giving some advice because, frankly, this show is my idea, and I'll go there. And the first thing I wanted to start with was, and this is an idea, example of how this can be broad and philosophical today or very practical. So the broad philosophical advice was from the dean of the journalism school I went to. He had a plaque on his desk that said, "Assume nothing." And of course, that was in terms of journalism, but I found so often in life that that applies to so many things. It's advice I give my kids. If they think somebody has is mad at them or frustrated by them or something, I say, you know, you don't know where that other person's coming from. Assume nothing. It often doesn't have anything to do with you. And then the practical bit of advice is to keep a Sharpie by the refrigerator. When you open the jar or the container of chicken stock, you can write the date on it. And that way you're not looking in the refrigerator and wondering when you first opened it. So, Amy Wood, I'll go to you next. What would you like to say about that advice or add some of your own?
I think that's great advice. You know, the first one, I think it, you know, it's very abstract. It provides a lot of wisdom for many situations. And then that other one is just, you know, really good practical advice, which is always very helpful to have. When I think of my favorite advice, I think of two things. Probably my favorite piece of advice is that life is simple, but it's not easy. So, you know, there are a lot of simple solutions, you know, like, oh, if you're not happy in your job, get another one. Or if you're not in a good relationship, break up with the person. But it's never easy to follow through on really good advice like that. Another favorite piece of advice I like to offer others is use your freedom between the trigger and response. You know, in other words, don't be reactive. The most freedom we have is how we respond, and we're all moving so fast through life that we don't use that freedom. We just get triggered by something and we react, and sometimes we make mistakes because of that and make situations worse. So you can use that freedom to come up with responses that actually improve situations in your life.
Thank you, Amy. Reverend Lewis, what would you like to add?
Oh, well, I'm still interested in the Sharpie chicken stock because I can't read the expiration dates because they're printed too small, so that Sharpie is a pretty good idea. You know, I just really believe that to know yourself and to know your worth is a set of advice that I've given many times. kind of about this self-efficacy, and not always looking for things external to validate or to produce thanks. Have some inner witness, to build some of that resiliency inside, to know who you are, and to trust who you are, and to kind of operate that way, to know your worth. I think it's in these days and times, it's always difficult. Sometimes very difficult for people to really understand their worth because of how worth is oftentimes measured. To do your best. I would always tell my children that I always expect an A for effort, even if you get a C in the class.
Right.
So always to do your best, try your best, give your best. And that's kind of knowing your worth and knowing your value and knowing yourself. And if someone else kind of scores it below the grade, if you will, you've done your best. And that's all I'm really looking for.
Well, it's 11:11, and we've already gotten some wonderful advice. We can end the hour now, but we can't really. So we're gonna keep going. We have some voicemails that have come in before the program, and we're gonna start with our governor, Janet Mills.
This is Governor Janet Mills. A couple pieces of advice that have been given to me and I've given to others. One is silence is golden. I think that might have come from my mother. But it also comes from Ed Muskie, who said Maine people have a way of saying, quote, there's no point in speaking unless you can improve on silence, end quote. The other piece of advice is from Walt Whitman, the great American poet, the first poet of democracy, who died at age 72, 128 years ago, author of Leaves of Grass and other epic works, a person who volunteered as a nurse in the Army hospitals during the Civil War, a person followed and admired by Ezra Pound and Pablo Neruda, Jack Kerouac, Langston Hughes. But one thing he said was, quote, keep your face always toward the sunshine. The shadows will fall behind you. I think that's a good piece of advice.
Reverend Lewis, the value of silence and keeping your face toward the sun.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in that keeping your face towards the sun. Considering where we've been over the last 8 months, that's kind of this eternal, optimistic view that, you know, that sun awakens us. Keeping your face to the sun, especially where the sun rises in the east. This is opportunity for a new day, a new way. Silence speaks volumes, and so I always like that kind of context. I think the governor has done a really good job offering some advice. As I think about Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, if I keep my face towards the sun, I have an opportunity to minimize all of the noise around us and to kind of get in a little bit of a quiet space. It's contemplative to me when you're talking about silence and turning your face towards the sun. It's a time for receptivity, a time for reflection, a time for meditation. And I think in there you find something called joy.
Amy?
Yeah, I certainly would agree with everything just said. And I would add to that, you know, so much of us spend so much time producing and doing and trying to get somewhere and responding and trying to keep up. And the real value in life, the real happiness and joy comes from having time by yourself, time to go within. And that's often where the best advice comes from, is inside yourself. You know, we all have intuitive information that doesn't speak very loudly. We have to give it space. We have to give it quiet and create those opportunities for it to rise up and be heard. But especially when we're trying to make really big life decisions, you're not going to find that by Googling. You know, yes, there's a lot of information out there, but the answers that are right for us come from those quiet moments. So I always advise people, especially the people I work with, highly ambitious people who are constantly producing. I tell them, change your definition of productivity and add in the fact that if you don't have those silences, then you don't have room for letting your thoughts flow. You don't have room for imagination, for the percolation of new ideas that come from you. So silence is just really, really essential, I think, and just don't have enough of it. And we have to make time and space for it.
Right, Amy, I think you would agree with me is that it is a tremendous strategy for self-care. And and if we don't practice self-care, it's very difficult to provide care for others. And I think about that often, how important it is to learn how to be still. We don't live in a still world. Information and activity, as you said, is a constant. And we don't really have to be consumed by it if we can practice the stillness and the silence. Some element of solitude without kind of being disconnected.
Next, I'm going to go to an email. This comes in from George Smith. Many of you know George, longtime director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, a columnist in Maine, hosted a TV show called Wildfire and had a column in many newspapers, not only about the outdoors, but also about traveling around Maine. George is struggling with ALS, and his voice is too soft to leave a voicemail, but he sent us an email. George Smith writes, "My parents always encouraged me to set lofty goals and never give up on them. In school, that helped me play sports, play in the band, sing in the choir, and even serve as president of my class. I was also a 4-H club leader. As an adult, that advice helped me be a good father and achieve a lot for my state. Even as I struggle with my illness, ALS, I set goals every day, including writing my weekly newspaper column, which I've been doing for more than 30 years. I am so grateful to my parents for sending me down this path." Setting goals, Kenneth Lewis, you mentioned your advice to your children.
Absolutely. And the goals are smart, right? They're specific and they're measurable and they're attainable and they're timely or time-oriented. I have two adult children who I still encourage to set lofty goals. You don't necessarily have to get to the mountain peak all at one shot. There are summits that you climb to, and I'm a strong advocate of that. And really, you need good support, some self efficacy, but also some external support. And so, being able to ask for and receive help, even when the help is not the help you want.
Amy?
That's a tough thing to kind of think about.
Yeah, I agree. And, I have a lot to say about goals, but probably the two most important things that come to mind, and this is advice I give a lot in my work, one is that, lofty goals are great, but you have to set ridiculously, laughably small steps if you want to achieve those goals. One problem we have in our culture is we have all these wonderful goals, but we expect to accomplish them very quickly. And, I talk to my clients a lot about how kids understand this idea of small steps. You don't go from addition to subtraction, all the way to trigonometry overnight. But adults expect, I'll just read this book or watch this YouTube video and, accomplish this goal. And then they get discouraged because they can't. They're trying to do too much too fast. So I say just accomplish a little goal and get started. I often compare it to hiking because I love to hike. If I just look up at the mountain I want to hike, I can feel intimidated and think, I can't do this. But if I just start taking tiny steps, I'm in the hike and enjoying it, and eventually I get to the top. The other part of that is so many people are trying to prepare to embark on a journey to accomplish a goal. And there's so much information, so much how-to advice, and you get this sense that you're never ready. Oh, there's just one more thing I need to read or one more podcast I need to listen to. And I'm not quite motivated yet. And I tell people, motivation comes from movement. It's not like motivation and inspiration, you know, when you're muse and all that, you know, just arrives in front of you and all of a sudden you're ready. You have to just get started on those ridiculously small steps, and then you're immersed in it and you feel like, hey, I'm doing it. And that's where the motivation comes from.
Thank you, George Smith, so much for sending in that email, and we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Now we're going to go to a voicemail from Dr. Nirav Shah.
This is Nirav Shah from the Maine CDC. The best advice I ever received was to stop trying to change people's beliefs and to start trying to understand why people have the beliefs that they do have. When I was in medical school, my best friend and I went to a large outdoor concert. There was someone at that concert, an audience member, who was holding a large sign up, and the sign alleged all manner of different conspiracies that were happening, aliens and abductions and all manners of things. And my instinct was to go up to the guy to debate with him, to try to get him to change his mind. My best friend said, "You're completely missing the point here. The point isn't to try to change that gentleman's mind. It's to understand what experiences that he had that shaped his worldview such that he has these beliefs today." And as I've learned from that advice, the real richness and texture of understanding people comes not from trying to change their minds, but from trying to understand why they have those beliefs in the first place.
Wow.
Amy? Oh, Ken, I'll let you go first.
This opportunity to listen and learn, you know, what Dr. Shah was really talking about is this engagement, this ability to quiet one's own thoughts in order to hear, I mean, truly hear, not listen to respond, but listen to learn and understand and engage. I think that's really good advice because we are, you know, our communities and societies are so opinionated that we've lost the art of listening. And so I really like what he had to say there, and I think it's something that's timeless.
Amy?
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think it's timeless advice, but it's so important right now during these times fraught with division and polarization. Listening is so important, and it seems like a lot of conversations today, they're just about arguing for a certain viewpoint. Nobody's really listening to the other side, and you know, studies show that even if you have people who are completely opposite in, let's say, their political beliefs, and let's say in a social media forum, they really hate each other. If you sit them down across from each other at a table, they can actually find common ground. And I think common ground is found from listening. If we can go at another person in terms of wanting to understand them rather than wanting to talk them into something, wanting to hear their perspective and their point of view, that's empathy. You know, empathy is about being at that person's, in that person's viewpoint and being in their shoes and seeing the world their way so that we can understand why they view the world as they do. And what we usually find from that is commonality in our humanity. You know, we're not that different. We just have different ways of viewing things. And when we listen to each other and appreciate other perspectives and combine those perspectives, we can find solutions to problems. It's not a matter of saying my way is right. It's a matter of saying, how can we, with our diverse ways of viewing things, work together toward common good?
I mean, how difficult is it these days to turn the volume down so that you can actually hear? Whether it's social media or the news media or whatever it might be, or just the constant noise that is overwhelming, and that being still to really engage a person. One of my daughters, I did a TED talk on radical listening, this opportunity to really engage a person. Because at the end of the day, there's probably more we have in common than what we have as it relates to differences. And I think that helps make a better world.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Starfire Storage, offering transportation, handling, and storage of fine art collections. Details at starfire.me. Jane and Frank Bragg of Bangor, proud supporters of the voices of independent and in-depth journalism at Maine Public News. And Encore Renewable Energy, committed to fueling Maine's economic recovery with solar energy for businesses and institutions. Encore.eco.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb. This year, Thanksgiving is going to be a little different for a lot of us, but one thing remains for sure. Our annual Turkey Confidential. It's culinary triage on Thanksgiving Day. We'll answer your cooking questions with our incredible guests, Samin Nosrat, Jacques Pepin, Mike Solomonov, and Sola Elwaili. That's Turkey Confidential on Thanksgiving Day from 8 p.m.
And that's tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. to noon here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public's Dash of Maine Holiday Cooking Challenge is underway. Each week, we'll choose a special recipe from the Maine Bicentennial Community Cookbook, inviting you to send us a picture of the completed recipe, and a winner chosen at random will be awarded a copy of the cookbook. For complete details, including our recipe of the week and our Ready, Set, Whisk tips and hints, please visit mainepublic.org and click on events.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're talking about advice, valuable lessons you have received or given. My guest, the Reverend Kenneth Lewis, who is senior pastor at Green Memorial AME Zion Church, and Amy Wood, psychologist, author, and executive coach. Share your comments and questions or your memorable advice by email, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. I have to warn you, lots of calls coming in, so if you don't get through, maybe wait a little bit and try again. We're going to go to one more voicemail, or maybe not one more, but we're going to go to another voicemail. This came in from my friend and former colleague, Cindy Williams.
The best piece of advice I ever got, don't give unsolicited advice. Because Jen asked me to do this. Here we go. You know, Socrates said that smart people learn from everything and everybody. Average people learn from their own experiences. And that stupid people already have all the answers. That leads to the best piece of advice I got, which is stay curious. Ask questions. Listen to the answers, because that is how we learn and how we grow. And in today's society, it is so easy to vilify the people with whom you disagree, because it makes it easier to dismiss what they have to say. But we do so at our own peril. Ask, learn from everybody. Especially now with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming, we're going to see people we don't necessarily agree with. It's a good thing to keep in mind. Stay curious, my friends.
Amy, there seems to be a bit of a theme developing here.
Yeah, I think so. You know, this reminds me of what I've been telling a lot of organizations. I do a lot of consulting with organizations on leadership, and especially during the pandemic, I've been asked this piece of advice, you know, what can we do to help our employees feel safe? What can we do to help our employees feel motivated, you know, during this time when people are feeling so uncertain and often isolated because they can't work together in person? And what I say is listen. That's what your employees want more than anything. They don't want you to fix it. They want to just have an opportunity to be heard. They want to know that that they're cared for. And the best way that you can show that you care is to listen, to approach people with curiosity, to let them know that you're there if they want to talk. And we don't make enough time for that in our culture, because we're so busy and trying to get to the next thing. But when you let someone just talk and you don't interrupt them and say, oh, I have a solution, you're actually doing a lot more good than if you try to fix the problem.
Reverend Lewis?
Yeah, you know, I agree 100% with that. I mean, leadership is really more about actions than words. And I think this opportunity to remain curious, you know, so I've led a congregation for the last 8 months in which we've not been able to gather. And a big part of my role has been is to encourage. And I think in order to encourage people, you have to possess some courage. but there also has to be some level of vulnerability there. And so you have to learn to listen before sharing. And again, you don't have to have all the solutions. Sometimes a listening ear is all that people need to work their way through anxiety or struggle as they're thinking through the next step or how I become comfortable. And I could talk a lot about the things going on as it relates to the pandemic, but I think it's really important for those persons in leadership, whether they're parents or peers or whomever, to really learn how to adopt this model for listening and curiosity and asking questions before offering answers.
We're going to go to Tom calling in Scarborough. Tom's been very patient. Thank you so much, and go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, you're wonderful, and people out here appreciate it. Your guests are wonderful, and the call-ins have been tremendous. You know, as we go through this process sometimes, it's like a giant storm. We don't know what to hold on to. And every now and then you get lost. And like in the Book of Solomon, Solomon prayed for wisdom. This is...
Oh, no.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, my goodness. Tom, I'm going to keep your line hot in case you... comes back. You there?
Oh, what do you mean?
We lost Hello, you. Mom? You're about to quote the Book of Solomon.
No. Yep. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, heavens. Well, anyway, Solomon led me to wisdom, the search for it, but not to it. And so what I found was this quote from Jean-Jacques Rousseau. And it's very profound. It's pragmatic. And it's also self-encouraging, and it combines all the things you guests have been talking about of what it is to live a good life. And it's, quote, what wisdom can you find that is greater than kindness? What wisdom can you find that is greater than kindness? And I hope that got through.
Oh, it did. It did. And thank you so much, Tom. And, you know, Gary on Facebook agrees. He said, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. Reverend Lewis,
like that.
And Amy Wood.
I think that that's absolutely, you know, your listeners and responders are tremendous today. You know, kindness is something that you can't buy in a store. You can't order online. It's something that you have to determine to do and determine to be and determine to share. And I think we can do much more in our world if we just approach people and things and circumstances with just some common kindness. And it's a great reminder. It doesn't take a whole lot to be kind.
Amy?
Yeah, I agree. And kindness also is a way to feel a sense of control when things feel really out of control. There's so much in the world we can't control. Everything from other people to the weather to the stock market, and especially this pandemic. So during these uncertain times we're in the midst of right now, where things are changing every day, if you want to feel more a sense of being grounded and like you're in command of your life, do something for someone else. It feels great, and you feel like you do have power because you're able to do something that makes someone else's life better. And, you know, it really isn't that hard. It's as simple as opening a door for someone or, you know, offering to run an errand for an elderly person who's compromised and can't leave the house right now. Very easy to be kind.
Tom, thank you so much.
Last Sunday, I spoke from a passage in the Book of James, and the passage says, count it all joy. And I can just stop right there. and it goes on further, but to count it, whatever it is, because joy is not something that is about happenings or happenstances. It's a disposition of one's own heart. That's where kindness comes from as well. And so no matter what's going on around us, this kind of discipline to learn how to count it all as joy, which is very different than happiness. Mm-hmm. I think I did a program with you at one point in time. We talked about joy or happiness, and so it reminded me of that.
Mm. And Tom, thank you for your call. I'm going to pivot to a couple More practical bits of advice. Email from Scott, measure twice, cut once, of course. And that is so applicable in so many parts of life. Kyle on Facebook says, driving in winter, going up hills or in slippery conditions, drop into the first or second gear for more control. Mm-hmm. And going down hills, drop into neutral. So terrific practical advice right away. We'll go to Carol calling from Cumberland. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks so much. And thanks to your, for the folks and all that I've heard. Just and kind of in the same venue, if you will, I find, especially in these times, to step back and reach out, get out of myself and make the phone call to the cousin that I didn't always get along with so well, but I just to reach out and make that phone call or text or however your connecting way is. And to do that and reach out to someone that you hear, you know, a neighbor has a need. Maybe I can't fill it because I can't really, but I can at least check in with them. And it helps me. I can't do this alone, but I certainly can reach out. And by reaching out, I'm not doing it alone.
Carol, thank you so much for your call. And I'm going to move right into Marion, who's calling from Cumberland. Hi, Marion. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to share a piece of advice that my father gave to me after I graduated from college. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. So what he said was before, when you're in school, you have feedback along the way. But when you get out into the working world, no one's going to be giving you feedback every month and every semester and every year. So you have to be your own. You have to validate yourself. And that goes to what something that Reverend Lewis was talking about earlier about just self-validation.
Know thyself, Reverend Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so very important to learn how to talk to yourself. I mean, encourage your own heart, encourage yourself. And then you have the courage to share. So, you know, I think when we build when we build ourselves up, when we become our own fan, it's easier for us to actually be a supporter for someone else as well. And I think that's a really good prescription for leadership and relationship.
Amy.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to reward ourselves along the way, and it doesn't have to be a big reward. It doesn't have to be a material reward, but it can just be acknowledging what you've done, even if it's just, you know, hey, I got through a really tough day today. You know, I'm pretty resilient. And this feedback thing, you know, we're not always going to get feedback. And a lot of my clients come to me upset because they're leadership or their work doesn't give them the leadership or the feedback they want. And I say, you know, you need to do that for yourself, especially as you advance in your career. For those of us who are beyond just starting out, you have to be able to stop and assess yourself. And that's part of self-awareness, but it's also part of being motivated, you know, to be able to acknowledge your accomplishments. And that gives you the energy you need to keep moving forward rather than waiting for someone else to say, you've done a great job.
Yeah. You know, Jennifer, you know, I was listening to kind of the very practical sets of advice, and what jumped in my head was the look both ways before crossing the street. Mm-hmm. And it has so many kind of life applications to it. And, you know, we chuckle when we hear those kind of older colloquialisms of advice. But if we just fast forward to the now, it's really about decision making, gathering the information required to take a step.
Yes, and slowing down and being somewhat careful when you're going about the day.
Absolutely. And so when I travel overseas, when they're using the UK system, I have to extra pause.
That's right.
Because I have to look in the other direction that I'm accustomed to looking for the cars to come.
But so maybe now during this pandemic, we're kind of in a different situation. So we need to pause that extra moment.
Yeah, I think we pause, but we put a mask on. We pause and we keep our distances. We pause and we wash our hands. And really, you know, the message that I've continued to hear from an advice perspective, it's about the kindness to my neighbor, to be thoughtful of my neighbor and not just of myself.
Marion, thank you so much for joining the conversation today. An email here from Chris. I remember years ago, Jack Welch, then head of General Electric, saying, don't be afraid to seek advice. People like to be asked. Amy, this relates to something you were talking about just a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this is a wonderful way to build connections with other people, to make other people feel good, as long as it's genuine, by the way. But people do love to be asked for their opinion. They love to be asked for advice, especially leaders, you know, to ask people who aren't at their level for advice. You know, I'm often encouraging people who have others working for them, you know, involve other people in using their strengths to compensate for strengths you don't have. That helps to build self-esteem. It helps to encourage people. It helps to motivate people on a path of development.
Reverend Lewis, before we go to a break, anything to add to that?
Be confident enough to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. We are going to take another quick break. A little time to think. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Lee Auto Malls. With a goal of donating 30,000 meals to the Good Shepherd Food Bank this November. Learn more at leeauto.com. Bristol Seafood of Maine, dedicated to bringing restaurant-quality meals to your kitchen with My Fish Dish, found in the freezer at your local Hannaford. And Bull Moose, celebrating the tactile experience of reading and proponents of dog ears and bookmarks. Locations across Maine and at bullmoose.com.
American politician and shipbuilder Arthur Sewell was born on November 25, 1835 in Small Point. Best known as the Democratic nominee for Vice President of the United States in 1896, Sewell was the son of one of Bath's first shipbuilders, in whose shipyards he worked learning the trade. In 1854, he and his brother Edward formed E&A Sewell, continuing their father's business. It became Arthur Sewell and Company when his brother died. Sewell's firm built 80 ships in over 50 years. Not limited to shipbuilding, he pursued a political career, was president of the Maine Central Railroad, and served as president of the Bath National Bank.
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Bernstein Scher and Maine Masons, celebrating their bicentennial in Maine. Happy birthday, Maine!
I'm Peter O'Dowd. As Thanksgiving approaches, we'll visit a homeless shelter near the U.S. border with Mexico. They're still serving meals to those in need, despite the pandemic.
We're worried about it, like everybody else is, but we're faith-based here, so we just pray and hope and work.
That's next time on Here and Now.
And Here and Now is today at noon here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Jennifer Rooks. I'm Maine. We're talking about advice on Maine Calling, valuable lessons you have received or given. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Our guests, psychologist Amy Wood and Pastor Ken Lewis. Amy, I know you had some advice about optimism.
Yes. You know, a lot of us are always looking for advice because ultimately we want to feel good. That's what everybody wants. That's the outcome we want, no matter what the advice is about. That's where we're trying to arrive. And so there's a lot of advice on there on being optimistic. And I think it's important to point out that some of the advice on optimism is simply wrong, and it creates a lot of unhappiness ultimately. You know, the idea of being optimistic, it's not to just be happy all the time and put a smile on your face. And it's not about feeling good feelings all the time. Optimism is more about seeing reality and realizing, you know, there are a lot of things wrong here, but there are also some good things. So I'm going to look for solutions and I'm going to plan things to look forward to. I just was listening to something about on the radio about Michael J. Fox, who several years ago when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, he wrote a book about being optimistic, and he decided when he was first diagnosed, you know, I'm not going to give in to this disease. I'm going to have an optimistic attitude. I'm just going to decide to be happy. And I thought, boy, that's not very good advice. You can't just decide to be happy all the time, because that's not real. That's not life. And he is coming out with a new book, and he's changed his mind about that. He's thinking more along the lines of what I'm saying, that he's struggled with Parkinson's. There's been a lot of depression. There's been a lot of bad times. And now he realizes that optimism is not just about being happy all the time. You have to feel the negative emotions, too, to get through those emotions and get to a better place. So now he talks more about hope, you know, never losing hope, even though we all experience downtimes in life. Optimism is more about knowing you're going to get through it if you don't try to avoid those feelings that aren't pleasant to have. You'll get through it and get to the other side.
Mm. It's to, you know, it's to view the challenges as stair steps to the other side. I'm so glad that Amy used the word hope. That's the word I think that resonates with me as it relates to optimism. Optimism is really not about the right now. It's really about overcoming the right now to get to the what's next.
Yes.
With a expectation for good or better or more understanding or what have you. And it's hopeful. And I remain hopeful.
We'll go to Lou, who's calling from Green. Hi, Lou. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. What great advice from everybody. When I need advice, I go to a poem written in 1920. It's much too long to state here, but just two lines from it. One is, avoid loud and aggressive people. They are vexations to the spirit. And the last line is, you are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Thank you very much, everyone.
Reverend Lewis, many people know that as Desiderata.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that what I'm hearing today is that people are sharing and have demonstrated over the years an ability to grab hold of something that helps them through. And the wonderful sharing, we don't want to be isolated, and we need each other. We need each other's strategies and each other's words and opportunities to learn, so that we can build this kind of communal efficacy to build a better community. And that's a powerful, powerful statement.
Lou, thank you so much. We'll move on to Eric in Portland. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you all hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, thank you all so much for having me on. This has been a wonderful show. There are two pieces of advice that sort of came to mind immediately. One was a piece of advice I received when I was volunteering at a soup kitchen where I'd made a mistake, I guess, while cooking, and a person who was supervising me said, you know, like, she didn't believe that she had any mistakes or regrets in life, that she felt she could learn from things that had happened in the past, and that she'd be able to always take something from those encounters. And I really tried to center that wisdom within my own life. And the second piece of advice would be from a speech that the great Rutgers basketball coach Jim Valvino at the 1993 ESPY Awards gave. And he's receiving the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. And this was a couple of weeks actually before he died of brain cancer. But he said that three things he thought everyone in life should be able to do each day are to laugh, to think, to spend time in thought, and then to bring yourself to tears, either from joy or sadness. And those are three things I certainly try to do every day aspirationally.
Mm. Thank you, Eric, for your call. Amy.
Yeah, love all of that advice, particularly the part about the laughter. Bringing laughter into your life on a regular basis is so important. Equal to that, I would say bringing nature in, getting out in nature, but bringing nature into your indoor space. like having fresh flowers in the house or rocks that you picked up on a beach or shells from the beach. So many studies show that just being outside for 5 minutes can make you feel refreshed, can give you a better ability to solve problems so that you can come back to your work and be more effective. And laughter can have the same impact.
Mm, yeah, I would say that there's no such thing as a bad cry, right? Mm. And so our tears have such power, whether they're from the side of the coin that's sorrow or the side of the coin that's, you know, exuberant joy. The ability to shed tears and not hold them back, I think it's one of the healthiest things to do in order to maintain balance and maintain encouragement and really to maintain joy. So I like the tears side of that equation, if you will, because far too often, and from a male's perspective, you know, don't cry. I mean, how many people have been told not to cry? And I think that has hurt a lot of people over the years.
Yeah. Eric, thank you for your call. Yeah.
That brings to mind another piece of advice, which is to honor all of your emotions, you know, not just the ones that feel good, because there is a balance there. You know, we have to let in the distress in order to feel the joy.
Right.
All of it has to be processed.
Absolutely.
Eric, thank you. An email from Amy, and I love this one. My favorite bit of advice comes from Anne Lamott in her quote, quote, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. And I know that the tech people at Maine Public are laughing right now if they're listening, because I can't tell you how often I have called them and the answer was to unplug it or turn it off for a little while and turn it back on. We'll go to Tessa calling from Portland. Hi, Tessa. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
So my advice is about sort of radical self-care, I suppose you could say. I don't even know where I heard it, but it was, instead of practicing standard self-care, like going to the spa or going on a trip or something like that, try to create a life for yourself that you don't constantly feel the need to escape from.
Yep. And Reverend Lewis, you were talking about self-care, and this takes it a step further. Create the life.
Absolutely. Wow. I think creating an attitude of self-care and scheduling it, right, following through on the importance of you is what I would say. It's so hard to follow through on it because we're pulled in many different directions, and we want to achieve, we want to help, we don't take the time to really control, alt, delete, to reset, refresh, restore, renew, all of those various words. And so I think that is so very important.
I like this one, Janet on Facebook. Not everyone is going to like you, Amy.
Yeah, that's really good advice, and it's so true. You know, often if we look at ourselves positively, you know, we might say things like, you know, I'm a smart person or I have a great sense of humor. Well, others might not think the same way about those qualities. Like someone might think, oh, that person is sly, they're not smart, or that person doesn't have an appropriate sense of humor. So, you know, we have to understand that everybody has different opinions and no one is going to like everybody. And that includes us. And that's what makes the world so interesting, that we're all, every individual is completely different.
We're going to try to squeeze in a couple more calls if we can. Here's Ava in York. Hi, Ava. Go ahead.
Hi. Wonderful show. I was lucky enough to have just such a wonderful father. He's not been with us for almost 20 Thanksgivings, but his five children still recollect and pass on a tradition. And he used to call it Happy Thanksgiving, and letting us know, his little pearl of wisdom, that it's much easier to give than it is to ask people for help or to receive, to one of your guests' points earlier, but what my dad did, which still resonates throughout our lifetime. Now, we're talking five children, so it was always kind of crazy anyway. Well, he would augment the holiday and invite people who were alone, totally alone in the world. We would have different people every year to the feast. And he was an attorney by trade and profession, but just a great orator. And he would go around the table and ask people what they were thankful for. But we still talk about, quote unquote, thanksgiving within the huge family that includes 26 grandchildren.
Holy cow. Ava, yeah, thank you so much. And Kenneth Lewis, the idea of thanks-taking, it's easier to give than receive.
Yeah, I think that is the case. You know, I think I use the phrase thanks-living, which is in both directions. It's the giving and the taking. We have to be just as open to receive as we are to give. And so I think we feel good when we're able to give, and we don't always feel as good when we're on the other side of it. And I think balance is always the benefit. And so I appreciate the story about the big family. I come from a large family, and you know, sometimes the thanks taking is the pie that somebody made that I always try to run away with. So,
Ava, thanks so much for your call. As we wrap up the program, I'm going to quickly read through three emails. We haven't even scratched the surface of all the advice that's been coming in. So if I haven't been able to get to you either by phone or by email today, I would encourage people to go on today's Facebook post and add in the comment your advice so we can use that maybe as a little bit of a resource going into Thanksgiving. Here's an email from Henry. Make big decisions with your heart, little ones with your head, and learn to discern the difference. That's the hard part. From Wes and Willie, the best advice I've received that it's okay to not always reach the summit of the mountain, but to try, and in trying, enjoy the trail. And from Megan, I read somewhere years ago that in order to have genuine friendships, you have to let someone give more at times, and you have to give more at times. Keeping it all even all the time doesn't allow for vulnerability and growth. So much food for thought today. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and special thanks to our guest today, the Reverend Kenneth Lewis, senior pastor at Green Memorial AME Zion Church, and Amy Wood, a psychologist, executive coach, and author. Today's sound engineer, Lucy Suchek. Main Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Main Calling on Main Public Radio. And from all of us here at Main Calling, happy Thanksgiving.